Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Genesis, chapter number 1. Before I get started preaching tonight, I'm going to ask you if the Lord would remind you. I have an unspoken request tonight. If the Lord would remind you tomorrow about 3 o'clock, I want you to pray with me, would you? Okay? Will you do that? If the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would remind you, just pray with me. And I believe the Lord will have His way. Genesis chapter number 1. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I want to say before I go any further, even though mom and dad weren't saved, they weren't Christians, I'm glad that from a child I was taught that. And that I believe that. And that I live in a nation where that we were founded on the principles of God's Word. And really, if you have a problem with Genesis 1:1, you're going to have a problem all the way through the Bible. But if you don't have a problem with Genesis 1:1, there are going to be places in the Bible where you don't understand. There's still places where I don't understand. But that don't mean I don't believe. Amen. Every word of God is true. And I've lived long enough to know that though I don't understand it today, tomorrow may be a different story. God may have something for me tomorrow in that passage. And the verse I want to call your attention to is verse number 2. The Bible said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I've been sitting there on the bench tonight. I want to pray in a moment. I want you to pray with me. But I've been thinking about this as far as the prayer request, Brother Jason. I don't know that I pray enough or that we pray enough for the Spirit of God to move in our midst. We've got a flyer handout on Saturday where we'll go out and invite people. And Brother Jason, I don't know about your list, but if you've got us a list, brother, of unchurched, unsaved people, I'd sure like to have some of that list where we're going back, where people are not churched and people are not saved. But I tell you right now, I believe it would make a difference if we begin right now to pray over the Easter services, the sunrise service. I'm telling you, lots of times those services are tight, Brother Vince. There's people that will come once a year. And I believe sometimes it grieves the Spirit of God, amen, that people come more interested in somebody's new dress or new suit than they are the things of God. But I believe we serve a God that can overcome that. And we can get together and sing and preach. And if the Spirit of God will move, amen, move on hearts, move on lives, I believe it makes a difference. Pray with me a moment. Father, I thank you tonight. That He, the Holy Spirit of the living God, Lord, you just didn't move in yesteryear, but God, you're still moving. As you dealt with my heart today, Lord, about the message, Lord, I'm glad that, our Father, we don't have to look too far back to see you move in the hearts and lives of people. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that as we endeavor to preach the Word of God, that you, Lord, you'd fill us afresh and anew. Lord, that we would, Lord, be able to enjoy your presence tonight with us. I know there's folks here tonight that are tired. And I know, our Father, tonight that you know that. God, I just pray tonight that you'd honor us with your presence. I pray over the Easter services right now, Lord, and ask you, Father, open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing. God, make it easy to sing. Make it easy to preach. Make it easy for Brother Vince back at the shelter. Make it easy for the Sunday school teachers. Lord, there's so much that could be done if we could just see you move in our midst. But Lord, I believe sometimes when we think about the moving of the Spirit of God, we're thinking about maybe moving on lost people. But Lord, that movement must start among your people. It must start among us, we that know you, Lord. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll meet the prayer request that's been made tonight. Grant it, our Father, in the name of Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. I just got three little things tonight that I've never looked at this before. But I want to look at the first mention of the Spirit of God, the first mention of the Holy Spirit, and the first mention of the Holy Ghost. Never even thought about that before. But we know that that law of first mention is important in the Word of God. Amen. Now, when I say the first mention of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be going over to Psalms for that. But we know that even before you get out of Genesis, the Bible said, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm talking about the actual phrase, Holy Spirit, okay? I'm talking about the actual phrase, the Spirit of God. And I'm talking about the actual phrase, the Holy Ghost. All talking about the same person. And I believe with all of my heart, it's a bad mistake to think of the Spirit of God as an influence or an it. He's a person. He's as much a person as God the Father and as God the Son. And he can be grieved. How many of you all have ever been grieved in your life? Amen. He can be quenched, amen, by the believer. He can be rejected by the unbeliever. And the Spirit of God is a person. And we gathered around the altar tonight, Brother Chuck, and we prayed. Did you know that not one prayer made it to the other side apart from the Holy Spirit of the living God? I'm telling you, it's an important doctrine, amen. And what the Bible say? It said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord, well, you want to know why? Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, I'm not cooperating with the Holy Spirit's work in my life. And therefore, my prayers are not going to be answered. They're not going to get to the other side. And this first mention of the Spirit of God here, the Bible said that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let me turn this thing down. Been working today and forgot to do that. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And what really caught my attention is that the earth was without form and void. And I know you can dive off into all kinds of stuff right there. I'll tell you what I'm going to teach you tonight. The earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. But I want to make application tonight. In my heart this afternoon as I studied and prayed, I remember a time when my life was void. There was a void in my life. And had the Spirit of God not moved, that void would still be there. I tried to fill that void up with alcohol. I tried to fill it up with the pleasures of this world. I tried to fill it up with recreation. I tried to fill it up with sports. I tried to fill it up with church activity. And the Lord still loved me enough to come by and move in my life. Because he knew nothing else could fill the void. Aren't you glad that God made us with a hole that only he can fill? I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that here we see the Spirit of God moving, and there was darkness and there was a void. And without Christ, there's darkness in our lives. and there's a void in our lives. And I think it's an important thing. We see that He's moving in the darkness of His creation. Take that and go with me, please, to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Just mark your place there in Galatians chapter 5. And then go back over to the book of Psalms, if you would. Galatians chapter 5, and go back over with me to Psalms, chapter number 51. Psalm chapter 51. I should have marked these places in my Bible, but I looked at them, but I didn't mark them. Go back to Psalm 51 with me now. I don't think there's any so-called accidents in the Word of God. The first mention of the Spirit of God in verse 2 of Genesis, it has to do with God moving. There's a void and there's darkness. And it has to do with God moving. In chapter number 51 of the book of Psalms, I'm not going to read it all, but if you're familiar with your Bible, this is a psalm when Nathan, the prophet, he came to David. And what I want you to see is found over in verse number 11. I'm going to read verse 10 as well. The Bible said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Now listen to me. This is important. This is a man of God. This is David, the man after God's own heart. If you think you can't get sideways with God, you've got another thought coming. I don't care how far down the road you are. Amen. If you think that the flesh don't have power, if you think, beloved, that the devil don't have power, watch. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now watch this. The Bible said in verse number 11, "Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." I believe with all of my heart, when you look at God's trying to help us, when you look at the first mention in Genesis and it has to do with God moving, there's a darkness and there's a void. And David here, the first time the phrase, actual phrase, Holy Spirit is mentioned, in Psalm 51, we see God moving in the darkness of the child of God. You say, "Pastor, I wouldn't talk about darkness in the life of a child of God." Let me tell you something right now. When you do what David did, and you try to cover it up, he's guilty of lust, he's guilty of adultery, he's guilty of murder. He's guilty of deceit. He's guilty of all of that. And I personally believe that David knew it was dark. I believe it was a relief, Brother Jason, when Nathan stood there and told him the little story. David swelled up, still in his pride, and said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die." You say, "Pastor, what's this got to do with the Holy Ghost?" How many knows who sent Nathan? The Holy Ghost of God. David had it hid from the nation. He had it hid, but he didn't have it hid from God. And the first mention of the Holy Spirit, I know tonight that it would not be proper, Brother Vince, for you and I to crawl in the altar and say, "Oh God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Because we're New Testament believers. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon a man and many times depart from a man. You see that in Saul's life. And David was in fear that God would take his hand off of him. "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." I'm going to tell you something right now. The Holy Spirit of God for the believer today in the economy of the New Testament church, he seals us till the day of redemption. But I tell you, I'm not going to pray, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But I tell you what I am going to pray. Oh God, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, why? Because apart from the Holy Spirit, David lost something that you and I can lose. He lost his joy. I'm going to ask a personal question. Has anybody in this building ever lost your joy? We didn't lose our salvation, but we lost our joy. Aren't you glad that there's the person of the Holy Spirit that don't throw away the clay? Amen. It says, come here, boy. I want to make you. I want to mold you. I want to make you over again. Amen. Oh, we don't need to be saved again, but I'll tell you something right now. It's wonderful to know that when you lose the joy of God's salvation, the Spirit of God is right there, just like he was with Nathan, just like he was with David, to help us to get that joy back. I want you to see something in Galatians. Turn there with me quickly. Galatians chapter number 5. If you don't get anything else out of the message tonight, get this. He's a person. Listen, we may sometimes preaching, Brother Jason, we may say it. Just, I mean, we slip up, amen. But boy, we ought to say him. We ought to say he, amen. He's a precious person. If you're saved tonight, you can't be saved without his work. You didn't come to him. He came to you. You didn't find him. Oh, I was in prison. One of the prisoners said to one of the preachers, I found the Lord. That preacher said, I didn't know he was lost. He's not, is he? Amen. Notice in verse number 22 of Galatians chapter number 5, the Bible said, but. Well, we need to look and see why that's there. I didn't plan on doing this. But who is this written to? Is this written to a bunch of people in the bar room? Is it written to a bunch of drug addicts? Is it written to a bunch of people down at the house of ill repute? It's written to the church. Back up to verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think I just heard David say, amen, preacher. Because David wasn't walking in the Spirit that day. I believe he had been walking in the Spirit. He didn't want to have been out there with his men. Years ago, I was talking to some people at Antioch Baptist Church, and my brother and I had two 20-foot extension ladders. We took the extension ladder, made a 40-foot ladder, but we had two 20-foot ladders tied together across the roof of the church. And that the roof was so steep, Brother Brian had metal shingles, and we were painting it. We painted the roof of the church. And there was a guy that he had one of them cars. My brother nicknamed him Thumper. You could hear him coming out of Wise 3.5 miles away from the church. Boom, 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 boom. They just kept getting louder and louder until he come by the church. Then you could hear him 3 miles going the other way. Called him Thumper. We were talking about that, and one of the preachers said, you ain't got no business working on the church. We said to me. He said to another preacher, said, tell him, preacher. Oh, I thank God for that other preacher. I needed help. That other preacher looked at him and said, well, brother, I really can't say much because I've never asked my men to do anything that I wasn't willing to do myself. That helped me. That helped me. The Bible said here, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what he's telling them? If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Notice what the Bible said. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Look at Romans chapter 5 real quick. Romans chapter 5. Acts. Then Romans chapter 5. I didn't plan on going here either, but here it comes. The Bible said, this is what happens when you get saved. And hope maketh not ashamed, Romans 5:5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I didn't come get saved one night and then come back 3 weeks later and get the Holy Ghost. I come in that night. As a matter of fact, one of the first things I said to my wife was, I'm sorry, after I got saved that night. She said, what do you mean? I said, honey, I thought I loved you. And I can only imagine now what's going through her mind. I thought you went to church. I did. But I said, I told her, I didn't tell her just a few minutes ago. I don't even think I knew what love was. All I knew how to do was love myself and serve myself. But I'm telling you, God dumped a boatload of love in my soul when he saved me. Love, number one. Love. But look at it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Next, joy. Now there's a lot here. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I believe if you have love and you have joy, here comes peace. And here comes long-suffering. Here comes gentleness. Here comes faith. But I tell you what, you mess up either one of those, that love and that joy, and I believe you'll be crying out just like David did, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The first mention of the Spirit of God is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, where the Spirit of God moved. The first mention of the Holy Spirit is in Psalm 51. I want to say this. The Bible does not say this. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Bible does say that. But I believe the Father is just the same as he was in Genesis 1:1. And I believe the blessed Holy Ghost of God is just the same as he was. I believe what grieved him, you remember Moses? Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? He was calling them rebels, and he was a rebel himself, and it cost him his ticket into the promised land. He got to look at it, but he didn't get to go because he grieved the precious Holy Spirit of the living God. The first mention of the Spirit of God, the first mention of the Holy Spirit, both of these have to do with dark places. Now turn with me to Matthew. We're going to get out of some darkness real quick. Matthew chapter number 1. A lot of people are scared, or they act like they are, of the phrase Holy Ghost. We shouldn't be afraid of that because it's right there in our Bible over and over and over and over. In Matthew chapter 1, I read verse number 18. The Bible said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. That's the first mention of the Holy Ghost. Darkness over the face of the deep. Darkness in the life of David. But now you've got the light of the world. The Holy Ghost is the one who initiated it all. Amen. He's moving in the light of the world. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. Joseph must have been quite a fella. I like him. He was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her, 3 verses, 2 times, is of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 1. I'll finish here tonight. John chapter number 1. I sure want the Lord, whatever time I've got left on the earth, I want Him to use me. But if He uses us, Brother Brian, we got to cooperate with Him. We got to be led of Him. Yesterday, our devotion, it had to do with that awful place called hell. And I believe the Lord led me. I basically gave just a skeleton outline of a message that I've preached several times through the years. It came to me when I was preaching in prison. And you know what I was thinking about, Brother Jason? They might be a preacher in China that could take that and run with it. The lesson was 5 reasons why I don't want to go to hell. And 1 reason why I'm not. I believe the Lord led me. It's not to boast. But honey, if there's a church somewhere that has to be underground, I want to help them. If I can, amen. Notice what the Bible said here. I'm going to tie it all together right here. We're going to go to the house. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. Anybody know who that is? Verse number 14, the Word was made flesh. Y'all know who that is, don't you? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Watch now. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Watch it. And the light shineth in darkness. Oh, there's a song, Brother Brown. I can't remember what it is, but it talks about that light shines in darkness now. It's the lighthouse. Thank you, brother. You got that one? Work on it. Going to safely lead us home, amen. Now, listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Watch this. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. Not darkness couldn't do nothing about it. Next thing you go, this is where we should be tonight. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men. God didn't just give us this light to sit on it. It's more than a children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It ought to be this big old light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. More than just a song. It should be our life. He was not that light. John understood that, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John chapter 3. I'm sorry, I'm trying to quit. We love this verse. We love it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Hey, it ain't because we come in the world. It's because light come in the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want to ask you something. How many is glad the light came to you and you came to the light? Now we're just carrying the light, ain't we? Amen. There's something real special. All these children are special. But you forgive me. There's a little 8-year-old girl. I guess she's still 8. But right after the Christmas play, we were cleaning up. Ever since that night, she looks like she's got a light bulb stuck in her mouth. She is lit up for the glory of God. Forgiven. You say an 8-year-old can't understand. You should have been there that night. Oh, to God, I wish I'd have got saved when I was younger, before all those stupid scars were formed in my life. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? I didn't know when I got up tonight if I had enough to do 5 minutes. But he's good. Just the first mention. Never have looked at it before in my life. Never heard it looked at. First mention of the Spirit of God. The first mention of the Holy Spirit. And the first mention of the Holy Ghost. How many will help me pray that come Easter Sunday, God will just move. Just move. Would you like to see that, Brother Jason? Years ago, I was preaching in a little church, Long's Bend. I've told you this before, I think. Maybe some of you didn't hear it. Easter Sunday, that pastor had been at that church 34 years, much like Brother Jack was here all those years. I can't remember if he was sick or if he had already passed. It's not normal for a missionary to get to preach in a church on Easter Sunday. It happened a couple times in the 10 years. And I had a great message prepared for Easter. And God wouldn't let me preach it. I went into that Easter service and I said, I came to preach on the resurrection. But I said, God don't want me to preach on the resurrection. He wants us to witness one. I said, somebody's here today dead in your trespasses and sin. And God wants to raise you up. Little did I know, I preached on hell on Easter Sunday. There was a family from Florida, 3. You know what happened? God moved. He started when he moved on my heart. I found something out about the Lord. When he's moving on your heart, you listen to him carefully. Because he's probably working on the other end too. Amen. I tell stories and it might sound like you're bragging. But every time I tell one, I fear. There have been so many times, Brother Junior, that I missed him. I was too busy, too tied up in what I thought needed to be done to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm just glad you come. Let's go in the house and rest a while. You want to? Amen. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.